my great privilege to get to open up the Word and talk with you for just a few minutes this morning from the Bible. If you have a Bible, you have the outlines that came in your bulletin, you can pull those out with me this morning. And I want to start with just a question, because I think it's important for us to have the right questions. And I want to ask you a question. If you could pray a prayer that you knew that God would always answer, would you want to pray that prayer? Would you want to ask God for that thing? See, would you be interested in discovering the key to that sort of prayer? Because this morning I want to talk about prayer, and I want to talk to you about a dangerous sort of prayer. It's a prayer that is dangerous, but it will unlock a spiritual potential deep within each one of us if we will come to God with this type of prayer. And we're going to get to that in just a moment. See, last weekend we kicked off this series called Begin Again. Of course, the obvious time of year as we begin a new year is a great time for us to start thinking about the spiritual disciplines that lay down a foundation underneath our lives. And it's a great time for us to begin again on the right foot. And specifically in regards to talking with God, what we would call our prayer life. Because so very often in the hustle and the bustle of our life, we can forget to even talk to God. And so for many of us, it's a time and a season of beginning again to pray, beginning again to start our days and end our days, and even in the middle of our days, fix our eyes heavenward and say, God, I need you to be with me. I need you to be with me in this season. And I believe that as we dig deeper into this idea of prayer in a fresh way and remind ourselves of the simplicity of talking with God, that God will quite literally revolutionize our lives. Because something like prayer is something that's so important. And today I want to talk about, quite honestly, the most dangerous prayer that we can pray. And the title of my message this morning is just Surrender. If you're taking notes, that's what we're going to talk about today. Some of you are like, oh no, I don't want to talk about surrender. But this is a prayer that God loves to answer in our lives because it changes us. It changes our very posture when we will pray a prayer of surrender to God. In fact, Pastor Rebecca just shared about our 21 days of prayer and fasting, and I just want to challenge you again. If you haven't begun, some of you guys weren't here last week as we kicked this thing off, start today. But start intentionally saying, God, I want to press in and I want to seek you at the beginning part of this brand new year. Because there's something powerful that God can do in our lives when we will start our year with the right foot. You know what I mean? We'll start in the right direction with those right habits. So this morning, I want to talk about this big idea. If you're taking notes with me this morning, this is the very first fill in the blank. And it's this truth that I want to talk about. That the pathway of life, freedom, and purpose is to surrender to God. The pathway to life, to freedom, and to purpose is to surrender to God. There's something quite important about us surrendering our lives and our problems and all of the things that we have going on to God. See, we surrender to a lot of different things, don't we? We give in to temptations. We give in to the demands of others, the requests of others in our lives. We even surrender sometimes to the cultural norms, what our culture tells us is right, or what we should think or not think or do or not do. But if we will actually surrender to God, to Jesus Christ himself, we discover something profound and life-giving in the process. See, in it we discovering that when we surrender to Jesus, we find life. That is the pathway to newness of life. The Bible promises us a new life in Christ if we will surrender ourselves to him. So when we surrender to Jesus, we find life. When we surrender to Jesus, we also find freedom. Freedom from our addictions. Freedom from those things that once held us ensnared. The Bible calls it sin. God sets us free from the power of sin at work in our lives. And finally, in surrendering to Jesus, we discover our purpose. We understand what God has created us for to be. So surrendering to God can be the most dangerous prayer we pray, but I would submit to you that surrendering to God is the safest prayer we can pray. As we entrust ourselves to God, who is our Heavenly Father. Now last weekend we looked at that idea in depth this idea that God is a heavenly Father. And we had to deconstruct sometimes our wrong views of what a father is supposed to be. Not all of us had perfect fathers, but we have a God in heaven that's described as our heavenly Father. And if you missed the message last week, check out our podcast, check it out, because it's important that we understand that as we approach God in prayer, that we have the right view of who he is and what he's like. And this morning, we're going to look at the second part of that scripture, and we're going to talk from a section of scripture known as the Lord's Prayer. If you have a Bible, you can turn to Matthew chapter 6. And again, if you're using the YouVersion Bible app or you're a technology person, you can pull out that app on your phone or tablet. And all of our notes are there in the events section. So you can take those not only for today, but you can take it into the week. Because there's something important about taking not just a word from God and just hearing it, but then saying, God, what does that look like for my life? So we want to give you the tools you need to take this into your week. So there's my little plug. You can use that app. It's free. So Matthew chapter 6, if you have a Bible with you today, we're going to start in verse 9. We're going to read verse 9 and 10. In fact, I'm going to have you guys sounded so good today. I want you to read this along with me together. Can you do that? You guys ready? Okay, ready? Go. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I would submit to you that this is quite simply, that second portion, verse 10, is the prayer of surrender. It is the part of our prayer that says, God, I want what you want for my life. I want your will, your ways, not necessarily my will or my ways. This is the sort of prayer that God will always answer. See, we live in a world that tells us it's all about us, right? What do you want? Customer's always right, and we're always the customer. So what do you want? But this is a prayer that's quite different altogether. In fact, we've got a whole generation of kids that have grown up thinking that the world itself revolves around them, that everything must be catered to them. They have to feel safe. They have to feel encouraged. They have to feel special. And though they are special in God's eyes, the problem is that many of these young people go out into our world and they discover that the world doesn't work that way, that the world doesn't cater to them and their needs. And anyone who's in this world will tell you that things don't always go the way we want. Am I right? In fact, they tend to go the opposite direction of what we want, right? They almost never do, all the time. Yes. Amen. See, we can try and control our world, try and control our relationships, even try and control our health. But at the end of the day, those are things that we are not in nearly as much control over as we like to lead ourselves to believe. Am I right? See, those things that we are not in control of, those things that we think we can control and hold in our hot little hands, we find that they slip through our fingers like grains of sand. And we have no control over them, even though sometimes we like to believe so. So last week we looked at how God is our Father, and there has been study after study that directly correlates chronic anxiety and fatherlessness. That when I don't realize that I've got a Father who loves me, it causes me to become anxious. And Jesus alludes to this time and time again and says, you've got a Father who cares. See, scientists have discovered that anxiety comes from the same part of the brain that helps us to dream about the future. But when we go through life without a knowledge of a heavenly Father, it makes us feel anxious because we don't control the future. So that part of our brain that's designed to cause us to dream can also cause us anxiety. See, the Bible tells us that after sin entered into our world, we lost the intimacy and the closeness with God that we were created for. And some of us have bought into this myth, this lie, this great deception that says this, that says, if I don't worry, then my dreams won't come true. Like somehow there's a direct correlation between me being worried about this thing and them actually coming to fruition. It sounds ridiculous. You guys are laughing. It sounds ridiculous, but sometimes deep down we can buy into that myth, into thinking that our worry are going to cause those things. And God gives us an altogether different view. He gives us a different perspective. Jesus teaches us to pray this prayer of surrender before we ever even present a request before our Father. That we remind ourselves, A, that we've got a Father, and B, we surrender and say, Father, I want what you want for my life. See, because if we will surrender to God, that is the place we'll find contentment. That is the place we'll find peace. And that is the place we'll find real freedom in this life. So this morning, that big idea, I submit to you that the pathway to life and freedom and purpose is found in surrender to God. That's the only place to find it. And this morning, I want to talk to you about three things that prayer can accomplish in our lives, this prayer of surrender, and also give you a couple practical points if we have enough time. We'll try and get there quickly. Things that we can take this prayer of surrender, because I believe that this prayer is designed to be life-giving to our soul. If we will come before our Heavenly Father and say, Father, I surrender my will for yours, it is meant to bring us life. So I want to give you a couple things. The first thing is this. The prayer of surrender allows God to produce patience and faith in us. See, I believe that if God answered some of the prayers that we uttered in our distress and in our chaos, we'd probably be pretty miserable if he said yes, wouldn't we? You ever pray for something stupid? Is it just me that's prayed for something stupid? Maybe as a relationship or something else that was going on. You know, I really want to date that girl. God's like, that girl's not right for you. But if God had answered your prayer, you'd be in a wrong situation, right? Sometimes I believe that God's greatest grace is in not answering our prayer with a yes, but saying no. See, some of us pray and pray for God to do miracles in our lives, or at least they're miracles to us because they're beyond our ability to affect. But what if God used our biggest trial as an opportunity to demonstrate and to give us the biggest testimony of his faithfulness, of him being with us? See, I believe that God wants to turn some of our trials into great testimonies and stories of his great nature and what he's done. See, Rebecca and I used to live up in Northern California, and we lived for a season right near Napa Valley. As many of you know, Napa Valley is known as a wine country. And it's called that because there's abundant grapes that grow there. It's gorgeous country. It's beautiful rolling hills. And we would love to go and visit that area during harvest season. We'd go when the grapes would be full and the leaves were turning, and it was just a gorgeous time of year to be there. And we'd love to go there. But one year, I'll never forget, I was really worried because it was the driest year in many years in that region. And I was really worried that there wasn't going to be any grapes to look at. And that as a result, there wouldn't be any fruit. And as a result, there wouldn't be any juice. And the wine wouldn't be good that year. I was really worried about all this stuff. And so we went, and we just went, and you know, we like to go to these vineyards, and they have tours. They'll take you through, show you the caves and all kinds of cool stuff. And I'll never forget, we went to one, and we talked to him, and I was like, I'm so worried. The grapes are so small this year. And that's when he explained to me the exact opposite is true. That when it's real rainy, sometimes the grapes can get overripe. They can get filled with water, but when it's dry, the grapes, yeah, they're a little bit smaller, they're a little hardier, but they're so much more flavorful. And they add so much flavor because they've gone through a dry season. And in that moment, the Lord was reminding me that sometimes those dry seasons in our lives are meant to produce a fruit that could not be produced without the dryness. They couldn't be produced any other way. In fact, they're going to create the best wine, so to speak, in our lives. And I believe that's true of what God says. In fact, it lines up with what James says in James 1, 2 through 4. He tells us to count it all joy. Say joy.
Joy.
He says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces something good. It produces something beautiful. It produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. See, we've got to surrender our situations to Almighty God. Because in so doing, we allow God to produce patience in us, to produce a fruit that is sweet, a fruit that could not be produced any other way. The second thing that we accomplish through a prayer of surrender is the prayer of surrender allows us to refocus our eyes on what really matters. I don't know about you, but there are moments where our problems or the pressing circumstances of our lives feel like they're overwhelming. I feel like that's all that we can see with our eyes. You ever been there? Anyone? Yeah, a couple of people? It's like you got bills piling up, or you got laundry piling up, or I don't know what it is about laundry. It's like in my house with all our boys, we do laundry every day, and I turn around, it's back. You got stuff piling up all around you. It could be a medical issue. It could be a bill. It could be something else. But we have things that pile up in front of us. And if we're not careful, we can get so focused on those things that we never see around them. We never see past them. And I believe that God would call us to a moment of prayer that would fix our eyes heavenward in the midst of those situations. See, it's precisely in these moments of desperation that we need to fall to our knees and have a conversation with our Heavenly Father. We've got to refocus. Say, refocus. We got to refocus our eyes because we can get so transfixed on our problems that we miss the God who's there all along. God wants to be with us. What I love about Jesus, I love so many things about Jesus, but what I love about Jesus and his story is that Jesus had this in his life as well. You say, how? See, Jesus, though fully God, came to the earth and was fully man, and he had all the same struggles that we had. And what I love is, on the night before he was to be arrested and crucified, he struggled in the garden. He brought his followers along, and he told them to pray. But he was struggling with this thing, and he wrestled with these conflicting desires because Jesus knew the reason he came was to die on the cross for my sin and yours. And that was the way. But he also was a man, and he understood the pain that was set before him. He called it a cup that was set before him that he didn't really want to drink from, but he knew he needed to. And he struggled with these desires, this physical desire, and what he knew he needed to do. And he prayed a prayer of surrender to his Heavenly Father. Luke 22:42, Jesus prayed. He said, Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. I love that last part. See, because he came to his Heavenly Father and he said, Heavenly Father, I don't know what to do. I know what I'm supposed to do, but it's hard. But nevertheless, I would prefer another course of action, but nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And what happens? His Heavenly Father sends him a comforting angel to be with him in the midst of that season. See, he needed a heavenly refocus, so his prayer was simple. Father, not my will, but yours be done. Nevertheless, what I want to do is different than what I have in front of me, but nevertheless, not my will, but yours. He was saying, in essence, Father, I trust you. So I surrender myself and say, let your will be done in my life. So the prayer of surrender allows us to refocus our eyes. The third thing that we learn from the prayer of surrender is it allows God to remind us that we're not really in control. We're not in control as much as we think. See, some of our biggest frustrations are those moments in life when we come to the gripping reality that I'm not in control of the universe. It's so frustrating, isn't it? You know, police officer pulls you over or something else, and it's like, but I'm supposed to be the boss of the universe. What's happening? We don't want to say it like that, but that's the way we think. And there's nothing like our health to remind us of this important truth, that we're not in charge of even our own health, but particularly when a loved one has a health issue, it reminds us that, man, we're not in control at all. Just this past weekend, my sweet little 11-month-old Evan was sick. And there's nothing more pathetic on the face of the planet than an infant who's sick. You know what I mean? Like, they have little coughs, and it's like, I mean, it'll make the most hardened criminal like turn into a soft baby, like, oh, there's poor little baby. Like, what's wrong with him? And you know that as a parent, there's not much you can do. Oh, sure, there's medicine you can do. You can give them comfort and love on them and snuggle them up and give them extra cuddles, but there's nothing you can do to make it better. Don't you know that's the worst feeling in the world for a parent? It's like, as a dad, I'm like, if I could take this sickness upon myself so that you wouldn't have, I would totally do it in a heartbeat. But I can't. And it's one of those things, it's a reminder of that no matter how much we try and control, no matter how much we plan or prepare, that none of us are in control in this world. He's doing better, by the way. See, but God is wanting us to pray this prayer of surrender just as a reminder to ourselves that I'm not really in control. I got to remind myself sometimes of those things. See, Jesus in the sixth chapter of Matthew, right before this prayer, the same chapter that we're in, he says, when you pray, don't heap up empty phrases like the Gentiles do, for they think that God's only going to listen because they're talking so much. There's a paraphrase. But don't be like them, he said, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Say before. When does he know? He knows before you even ask him. Our Heavenly Father knows what we need. And all we have to do to overcome our anxiety and worries is this simple truth: surrender them to God. Surrender our unknown future to a known God who can be trusted. That's the antidote to our anxiety. It's like the guy that was running late to his appointment and he was stuck in traffic, probably driving in LA in the rain. You ever been in LA in the rain? Like people's brains fall out. I don't know what happens. But he's driving in traffic and he's late and he's trying to get to this appointment so he can be on time. He really wants to make a good impression. So he did something he never ever does. He prayed. He said, God, if you're out there, I really need to get to this appointment on time. I'll do anything. I'll give you my whole life if you'll just allow me to get through this traffic. Well, it almost like the heavens parted. All the cars in front of him took the off-ramp, and it was like clear sailing. At which point, he responded and said, hey, God, actually, never mind. I've got this. No problem. Right? So that's our problem. Sometimes we'll only come to God when we feel helpless or hopeless. When we think we're out of control, that's when we go to the God that we trust to be in control. But the reality is that he's always in control. And we are, quite honestly, almost never in control. So how can we do it? How do we surrender those things to Almighty God? I want to give you just a couple practical steps on how we can surrender those areas to God. The first is this: we've got to let go of control. Turn to the person next to you and say, let go of control, buddy. We got to let go of control. See, each day you and I wake up and we have a decision to make. Am I going to be God today? Or am I going to allow God to be God today? That's a decision we have to make, whether we realize it or not, or acknowledge it or not, or think much of it. We have to make that decision before we even peel back the covers and get into that crisp morning air. Your house is as cold as mine is in the morning. I don't know what it is. But as you pull back those covers and step out of bed, we've got to make that decision. And it's a battle, isn't it? Am I going to be in control today, God, or am I going to allow you to be God? So there are verses in the Bible that you and I would rather ignore because they talk all about surrendering to God. But the reality is that many of us want to be our own God. We want to be the boss. We want to be in charge. But there's something important that comes when we will surrender. And stress relief begins when we will simply allow God to be God. We'll say, hey, God, I know you got this whole universe thing under control, so I'm going to allow you to be God today. I'm just going to be me. I'm going to be who you've made me to be and do what you've made me to do. I'm going to let you be God and I'll be me. See, we've got to give up control to God. Psalm 46:10, the psalmist says, be still. It's a reminder from God. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. See, we've got to start our day with a prayer of surrender. Sometimes that's stilling ourselves and saying, God, I'm going to let you be God today. I trust you. You've got this all under control. All those worries, all those doubts, all those fears, all those anxieties. God, I trust you with those things. I surrender them to you. See, the Bible tells us that our Father already knows what we need before we even ask him. So sometimes the most profound thing we can do is simply come to him and surrender. Say, God, I trust you. God, I trust you with my day. See, as we approach the top of a roller coaster, sometimes we know in our minds, I'm safe, right? You ever been there? Click, 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 click on the top of the roller coaster. You like, I know I'm safe, but my soul doesn't really feel safe right now. You know what I mean? I feel like I'm going to die right now, but I know up here that I'm going to live. And sometimes we've got to remind our emotional state, hey, I trust in God. And sometimes I believe our prayers are reminders to ourselves. Over and over, the psalmist reminds himself, be still, my soul. Trust in God. And I believe our prayers sometimes are reminders, not just to God, they're reminders to ourselves of our trust and our dependence. That some mornings I've got to wake up and say, Brian, I don't feel stress-free, but God, I trust you with this area that I'm stressing about. God, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow in this area of my life, but God, I trust you today, and I trust you with my tomorrow. So start your morning with a quiet moment with God. Surrender to him before you even enter your day. So how do we surrender to Jesus? We let go of control. The second thing we've got to do is learn to be content. Learn to be content. And this is the second key to finding peace in our lives. See, some of us have this quote in Philippians memorized. It's like your life verse. We're going to read it in a second. Maybe you've heard it. You've heard athletes quote it over and over again. You heard him say, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I love that passage of scripture. But let's look at it in its context. Philippians 4:11. He says this, not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. Say content. To be content. I know how to be brought low and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty or hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. See, we like to think of this passage as a battle cry. Like, man, I'm about to take a field of battle and just go slay some bad guys, right? I can do all things through him who gives me strength. And yes, I think it applies in that situation. But what I believe the Apostle Paul was talking about was something more meaningful, something more impactful, something more practical. That no matter what situation or season of life we're in, we can have contentment. See, I believe the Apostle Paul learned this truth, that contentment is not contingent on my circumstances, but on my perspective. I'm going to say that again for you. Contentment is not contingent on my circumstances, but on my perspective. In other words, God wants to give us the right perspective, that no matter what's happening around us, no matter what trial we're going through, whether we're high or low, whether we're rich or poor, whether we're in sickness or in health, no matter what's going on in our lives, that we can learn to find contentment, or what the Bible describes as peace. That we can have that contentment that comes only from God. That isn't based on our circumstance, that when times are bad, doesn't change one bit. That's the kind of peace that happens when we will pray a prayer of surrender to Almighty God. When we will say, God, I realize that when I'm high, on the mountaintop of life, celebrating a victory, God, you're right there with me. And when I'm low in the pit of despair, you're still with me. You don't leave me or forsake me. You're there in both situations so I can be content. Whether I've got a lot in my bank account or nothing. Whether I've got everything I wanted and hoped for or I don't. I can know that you are with me in the midst of that. But what I love about this passage is it says that a content life doesn't come automatically. It's not an automatic thing. What does the Apostle Paul said? He said, I have learned. Say, have learned. That's something that we can learn to have. It's something that we have to learn and remind ourselves of over and over again. He said, I've learned to be content. It didn't come automatically. But it's from that reminder of fixing our eyes heavenward, of surrendering our way for God's way, and saying, God, I want to find you. Here's the promise of God, my friend. He'll give you rest if you'll bring him your problems. If you'll bring him your doubts, your fears, or what the Bible says as burdens. This is what Jesus said in Matthew 11:28. He said, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for I am gentle. And learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. See, we worry because quite simply we failed to bring our problems, our burdens, our struggles, our doubts, our fears, our anxieties to Jesus. See, because Jesus says, if you'll bring them to me and just drop them, I'll give you a burden that's not heavy. I'll give you a yoke to put on your shoulders that's much lighter than what you've been carrying around. So we've got to surrender those things. So we've got to let go of control. We've got to learn to be content. And then third and lastly, we've got to lay down our plans. How do we surrender to Jesus? Lay down your plans. Now, I don't know if you've noticed, but it seems to me that my plans get changed a lot. Does that happen to you too? But I'm planning on this. But it doesn't always happen the way I hope it to. See, there's things that come, problems that come, that sabotage my plans. I'm planning on going one way, and I got a detour that I'm not expecting. You ever had those in life? Those detours that we don't want, those inconvenient side roads that we're not planning on. I heard someone call it IAS, and it's a reality of life. You're like, what is that? It's a theological truth. IAS, what's it stand for? It's always something. You ever feel like saying that? Like, things are going fine. It's always something. I feel that way when we're trying to leave the house with all the kids. It's always something. Someone's got to go to the bathroom. Someone's got this. Someone needs to get their shoe because they forgot a shoe. Someone got mismatched shoes. We got to go back and get shoes. It's always something. Maybe you have those situations. It's not in the Bible, but I believe it's true. It's always something. There's things that happen in our lives. And sometimes we've got to come before God Almighty and just lay down our plans. Say, God, here's what I was planning, but I'm going to lay them at your feet. See, surrendering to Jesus means laying down my plans and asking for God's plans to give me contentment in the middle of my unexpected detours. But I believe that sometimes our detours are the very plan and purpose of God. It's not the plan A in our mind, but it's God's plan A. That those detours are meant to create some fruit in us, to do something in us. See, problems bring about detours, but when we have problems, there's a number of reasons for them. Sometimes we have problems in our life because we make mistakes, we blow it. Sometimes we have problems in this life because our world is broken and with sin. And sometimes I believe we have problems in life and detours because God is taking us a different direction than we expected. And he's wanting to work something in us. One thing I know that's certain is that in the midst of life's detours, it's easy to lose hope, to forget that God is with us, even in the middle of those places. When we go down different roads than we expected to go, sometimes we can think, man, I'm all by myself. I'm here by myself. I've heard it said that the wise man is not the man who never makes a mistake or goes the wrong way, but the wisest is the man who, upon discovering he's moving the wrong direction, turns back the quickest. And I believe there's moments in our lives where we'll find ourselves on a detour, some of our own mistakes and some are heaven-inspired. But in the midst of those, I think we've got to come to that prayer of surrender. Saying, God, I don't know how I got here. I don't know if this is your plan or not, but God, I know you're with me. Paul E. Miller, in his book, A Praying Life, which is a great book to read, especially as we pray and fast, he says this. He says, we tell ourselves, strong Christians pray a lot. If I were a stronger Christian, then I'd pray more. Strong Christians do pray more, but they pray more because they realize just how weak they are. They don't try and hide it from themselves, for weakness is the channel that allows them to access God's grace. Friend, I don't know where you are, but it's precisely when your plans and my plans go awry that we need to surrender ourselves to Almighty God. It's precisely when we find ourselves on a detour that we need to turn back to God and say, Father, not my will, but yours be done. May that be our prayer this week. Father, not my will, but yours be done. Would you bow your heads with me? Close your eyes as we respond to the Lord in prayer.
As we come to the Lord in prayer, I want to remind you and encourage you of this truth. God is here. God is with us this morning. he referenced Psalm 46:10, and that very first verse in there is, it says, God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in my time of need. God is with you, whether you're in good times or bad. He is always there. He does not change. Today is a milestone day for some of you in the house this morning. And today will be the day that you surrender to God for the very first time, giving him your life and finding a new life in exchange. For some of you, it's your day of salvation, the day that you decide to become a Christian by trusting in the Lord Jesus for your salvation, by receiving the gift he's already paid for to provide on your behalf. I'm going to make that an opportunity for you to receive that free gift in just a moment. For others of you, God is gently reminding you to surrender some other area of your life today. Perhaps an area you've been worried about or anxious about, not trusting God with whatever that area is. Perhaps, like Pastor Brian said, you've bought into the myth that your worry is actually helping, but it's really not. God is calling us to let go of control, to learn to be content, and to lay down our plans. The question is simple. Will you surrender to the care and control of God? Will you stop trying to play God and allow God to be God in your life and in your situations? I don't know what that looks like in your life or what your very next step of faith is, but the question remains, will you take a step of faith this morning towards God, towards the future that he's created for you? If that's you, would you do something with me? All of our eyes are closed right now in prayer and response. And if that's you, I just want you to hold out your hands in a posture of receiving, and I want to pray a prayer over you. So if that's you, go ahead, hold out your hands in front of you. You need to surrender something to God. Our Father in heaven, I thank you that you are a good Father, a Father that I can trust. And right now, Lord, we surrender. We give up control of our situations and of the sources of our worry. Lord, we ask for your help. Help me to let go of control, to stop trying to be God in my own story and allow you to be God instead. God, we trust that you know our future and that you love us, so help us to let go of control. Help us to learn to be content. We tend to worry and fret about all the things that don't go our way, things we don't have. Lord, help us to find contentment in the process and in the detours and side roads of life that we find ourselves on. Help us to trust you even there. And finally, God, help us to lay down our plans and trust that your plans are altogether good and altogether better than anything we could think up. Though we often have chosen a different course, a different cup, we choose to drink from the cup you've set before us, Lord. We pray, not my will, but your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. And finally, with every eye closed and every head bowed in this place, I believe that some of you need to take that first step of faith this morning, and that's to receive God's free gift of forgiveness and grace for the very first time. God's waiting for you. He's waiting for you to take that first step, to surrender your life to his will and his ways. The question remains, will you? I believe you're not here by accident. I believe that God brought some of you here for this very reason, to give you his free gift of salvation. He wants a relationship with you. If you haven't been walking in relationship with Jesus Christ and you want to admit to God your need for his forgiveness for your past, your need for his power for today, and your need for eternal life in your future, would you pray with me in just a moment? If that's you, I want to pray with you. Would you be bold enough to lift up your hand so I can agree with you this morning? I'm not going to ask you to do anything weird. Just simply lift your hand up so we can agree with you. Church, let's pray this prayer together. Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Please forgive my sins and give me the gift of eternal life. I ask you into my life and heart to be my Lord and Savior. I want to serve you always. And in your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's celebrate with those who said yes to Jesus this morning.